Polynesian Paralysis Podcast, Episode 20. Welcome back to the Polynesian Paralysis Podcast. I'm Jim Gaston, your host. In the last episode of the Polynesian Paralysis Podcast, we reviewed the book, Who Wrote the Book of Love? By Thomas Farber, published in 1977. One of the many short stories in this book described the interactions and discussions between two sailboat captains in the South Pacific over the decision of a crew member, a young woman, who decided to switch boats. Fortunately for all involved, they were able to avoid the dangerous shoals of Polynesian paralysis and come to an agreement that everyone could accept. Today we look at an article that appeared in the April 1978 issue of Latitude 38 magazine, a sailing magazine based in Southern California in the Bay Area near the 38th parallel, or 38 degrees north latitude from the equator. Started in 1977 in Sausalito, Latitude 38 has grown from a funky regional publication to a laid-back California standard to an alternative authority for sailors across the nation and around the world. If you're looking to buy a sailboat, sell your sailboat, or learn more about your sailboat or sailing, or if you need help finding crew or want to be a crew member, then latitude38.com is a great place to go. People enjoy sailing for many reasons. Escape, adventure, fun, and just to get away from it all. There's something special about being out on the water, no engine or motor, just the wind and waves pushing you towards your destination. While sailing, you might not be still, but you have a wonderful opportunity to experience nature, be one with the ocean, focus on the present moment, relax, and maybe even experience Polynesian paralysis. The article we feature in this episode of the Polynesian Paralysis Podcast was written by Steve and June Jones. The editors of Latitude 38 describe Steve and June as local sailors because they often seem to be leaving from Sausalito, even though their sailing adventures take them to ports far away. One of their first sailing boats was a 50-foot boat, Sea Giant, that was originally a pilot boat built by Madden and Lewis, and later used to run rum, and even later used as a towboat. Steve worked on the Sea Giant when she was powered by three Chrysler Nissan engines, and he later took possession of her for back wages and a little cash. Steve and June, with the help of some local California boat folks, made Sea Giant into a gaff-rigged catch. Steve and June sailed Sea Giant from Sausalito to the South Pacific and back on a 2-year adventure. On her way to the South Pacific, she carried 15 crew to Hawaii. After returning to Sausalito, Steve and June sold Sea Giant and went to England to find a new sailboat to start their next sailing adventure, which we will learn about today. The article, which appears on page 48, is written more like a letter to friends. It starts like this. Dear friends, greetings from the crew of the good ship Syrinx. Syrinx is a word that describes the sound-producing organs in birds. It's not clear if this boat was named Syrinx or not, or if Steve and June gave her that name. Of course, changing the name of a boat is generally considered bad luck, so I doubt they changed the name. Syrinx is Steve and June's not really new, it's a 40-year-old teak cutter built in 1937 that they purchased in England in 1977. They spent about a year cleaning and fixing and updating the boat, getting her ready to sail south towards the equator and then west across the Atlantic to the Caribbean islands. On January 4, 1978, they pulled up anchor and nosed out into the English Channel on a dark, cold, rainy evening. The passage from England to the island of Madeira off the northwest coast of Africa would be about 2 weeks. The weather was bad, but it could have been much worse. Syrinx displayed her sea kindness and fine sailing abilities. The RA steering vane never let them down, and the little kerosene heater kept the cabin cozy and made dry clothes possible. Steve made countless sail changes, and June spent hours and hours in a wildly gyrating galley. They took turns on watch, 4 hours on, 4 hours off, sailing nonstop for several days. Arriving at port in Madeira, they spent 10 days relaxing and celebrating. The island is Portuguese and beautiful in the most recklessly romantic way. Towering cliffs, plunging valleys painstakingly terraced, whitewashed walls covered with rioting bougainvillea, wildly painted curvaceous fishing boats on the beaches. Relaxing in the hot sun, Steve and June were reborn. While in Madeira, they picked up Kent, a curly-headed young hitchhiker, and soon were leaving Madeira headed south to the Canary Islands and Tenerife, which would be a 2-day sail. There, they would spend the month of February sampling Spanish life. They hiked to the top of the 12,000-foot Mount Teide, celebrated carnival, worked on their boat, ate good food, and drank lots of excellent cheap wine. The markets in Tenerife abounded with the most beautiful and least expensive produce they had ever seen. Tenerife is a well-known starting point for sailboats crossing the Atlantic. While waiting on good weather, Steve and June would experience a 5-day sandstorm blowing in from the African desert a few hundred miles to the east. In early March, Kent, their hitchhiker they picked up in Madeira, had left the boat and headed toward Morocco. So Steve and June joined the straggling end of the flock of yachts headed towards the Caribbean. After 1 day of light winds, they picked up the trade winds and they turned west, headed downwind with sails extended on both sides of their ship, called wing on wing, the perfect passage-making weather. Syrinx ate up the miles at a steady 5 or 6 knots, and after only 19 days, they arrived in Barbados in the Caribbean. After clearing customs in Barbados, they headed 120 miles west to a nearby island in the Grenadines called Bequa. Here they found a large, fine anchorage where they would stay for several weeks. Let me read you the paragraph on page 49 where they mention Polynesian paralysis. The magic of the tropics descended upon us. We slipped easily into Polynesian paralysis, just hanging out for a couple of weeks. We rode the inner island schooner to St. Vincent for supplies. We hiked around Bequa. We watched the local boat builders at work. We puttered around Syrinx, danced at night to calypso rhythms and the smell of frangipani and rum in the air. After more than 2 weeks in the Atlantic, on a constantly moving sailboat, Steve and June were enjoying the relaxed lifestyle of the Caribbean and experiencing Polynesian paralysis. The article goes on to say that in mid-April, Steve and June sailed south to haul out their boat and do some maintenance work. Then they headed north to the Leeward Islands looking for work and to replenish their dwindling funds. Several weeks later, they're in St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Island, and Steve finds a job at a local cabinet shop in Charlotte Amalia. June finds a job as a waitress in a local restaurant. They find life in St. Thomas pleasant. However, the cost of living is high and the wages are low. But it's no secret that this area has some of the finest sailing in the world. The wind is steady, anchorage abound, as do charter boats, and the water is clear and warm. Sounds like the perfect place to be still, relax, appreciate nature, and enjoy life. Sounds like the perfect place to experience Polynesian paralysis, just like Steve and June did. In the next issue of the Polynesian Paralysis podcast, we take a look at a YouTube video from 1979 where two guys from Seattle who spent a lot of time in Hawaii are interviewed for a Seattle TV morning program called Seattle Today. The interview is filmed in Honolulu in 1979, and they mention Polynesian paralysis. If you'd like more information about Polynesian paralysis, please visit our website at rxaloha.com. And if you've experienced Polynesian paralysis, please send me a message. You can use the online form at rxaloha.com or email me at info@rxaloha.com. I hope that you'll take some time each day to be still, relax, appreciate nature, and enjoy life. Enjoy Polynesian Paralysis. the sensible approach to mindfulness.